So last week, in case you missed just a little piece of last week, it was a huge moment for our church. I know it was Labor Day, so a lot of folks were out. So I just want to kind of do a quick recap. Last week, we started something called the Advance Campaign. If you did not receive one of these, kind of bigger version of your bulletin, it looks kind of like this inside, looks like this on the back, and has a big envelope in the middle of it. We'd love for you to get one. We've got some right over there where the bulletins are, so make sure you get one on your way back, okay? Because this is going to share with you a lot of information about where we're going, where we're headed. And so what I'm excited about is, so this week on the, I believe it's the 18th, September 18th, we will celebrate our fourth birthday. So that's fun as a church. Yeah, kind of fun. And so we're right in between it. So we'll celebrate a little bit more next week. But we're excited about what God has done over the past 4 years. And we're excited at what God is going to do. And so we've come to a place now where God is providing an amazing opportunity for us to move into our first permanent location. So if you were to step outside this door right here and look over to about your 2 o'clock, there's a big clump of trees. And that big clump of trees represents about 2 acres that we are going to, sometime in the next year, break ground. And there's going to be a 15,000 square foot building there, and that will be our permanent location for the Church of Cane Bay for the foreseeable future. And we are excited about that. We're excited about that building. Part of the details on that, we're going to have about a 300-seat auditorium, so it's a little larger than the space that we're in now. There'll be 9 state-of-the-art children's classrooms. It'll be safe, secure, fun. There'll be a great place for your children to learn about Jesus. Parking will be a great greeting area. There'll be a great a place for us to just gather together and do fellowship before and after services. Our offices for the church staff will be located there. We'll have storage there. We won't have to tear up and set up and tear down anymore. I can't even say it, like drunk or something. Okay, so set up and tear down or something like that. And all the guys who are on my setup team say what? Amen to that, right? Yeah, absolutely. So we are glad to be able to do that. We'll have permanent signage along the road signs so people will know where we're at all the time, 24/7, that we're excited about that as well. So part of that project is a cool partnership that we're establishing with Coastal Kids Academy, probably will be Cane Bay Kids Academy when the time comes. And they are going to be in the building on a Monday through Friday basis, which is fantastic. So that building is going to be used all the time. And there's going to be a mission field right there Monday through Friday all the time with tons of families that are going to be bringing their children there every single weekday. And then we'll be able to use it on the weeknights for classes and such, like FPU students, those kind of things. And then we'll be able to have the entire building for the weekend. And here's the glory part of it that God is providing for us. Because of that partnership, we actually will not pay much more rent than what we do right now. So it is a huge financial benefit for our church to have our own building. It'll be a $1.8 million project altogether, but we will not pay much more than what we're paying now for this school, but we'll have our own permanent facility. So that's how God is just continuing to provide for us in the Church of Cane Bay. Now, we're going to be here in this building for another year or so while that building gets built, and our hope is that sometime, possibly, if God works a great work in the latter part of 2016, we'll be in the building, most likely be in the beginning part of 2017. So we are excited about how everything is working. Things are actually moving forward a lot better than we thought. We should have some architectural plans coming up in the next month, which we're really pumped about. So God is providing in a big way. Now, and all those details are right here. Now, what we're asking you is to step in and advance this project with us. It's going to cost us $250,000 to get this project off the ground. And if you would like, there's more information about that in this packet. But what we're looking for is there's $125,000 down payment for the land that needs to happen before the end of the year. And we believe wholeheartedly that we don't want to go into debt. And so we believe that God is going to provide that through the giving and generosity of our people before the end of this year. So we're asking folks to make generous contributions to our church over the next 3 months. And then we're asking also for folks to give monthly contributions for 2 years over and above what you normally give. So if you have more questions about what that might look like, I would hope that you go back to the podcast from last week and then be here next week as I go through and explain a little bit more about what that commitment might look like. And this has a little envelope, and inside of this envelope has a commitment card that we're going to be looking for you guys to pray through and commit a certain amount of money that your family might be able to give towards this project. We're going to give those commitment cards in on the 27th, so 2 weeks from today. So I hope that you take the next 2 weeks and pray about what you and your family could be able to give towards this project to make the kingdom advance right here in Cane Bay. So we're pumped about it. So, but today, I'm really excited about today because a part of this project, we have $125,000 that's going to go towards the land. We got about $103,000 that's going to go towards upfit, which is chairs and sound equipment and decor and materials and signage and all sorts of things. About $103,000 for that. The remainder of the money, somewhere around, it's around $22,800, is going to go, it's 10% of 250, the whole package. It's 10% of that. And that 10% is going to go towards what we're calling the Nairobi Initiative. And so we're tithing towards a global initiative to be able to take some of the money that we're going to take and kind of spend it on ourselves. We're going to take a portion of that money, a tithe, and be able to give it to something overseas so that God's mission and the glory of Jesus could be known in another part of the world that has nothing to do with Cane Bay. And you might say, why are you, you know, we're raising money for our own building so that Jesus could be known here. Why are we giving away the campaign? Why are we giving 10 cents away of every dollar that we raise? And there's several reasons for that. The first one is humility. We really want to be a church that is of humble spirit. We don't want to be one that's selfish. We never want to be a church that says, hey, this is all about us. Hey, community, look at us. We're cool. We never want to be that. We always want to be a church that proclaims the name of Jesus, proclaims his gospel. And so it's going to kind of allow us to be humble and know, hey, there's something much grander than ourselves here. There's a much bigger picture. And so there's a picture of humility there. We also want to say, hey, our circle expands way beyond the 10-mile radius that we always talk about at the Church of Cane Bay. We are responsible for every man, woman, and child within 10-mile radius, but we're also responsible to make sure that the gospel goes globally. We talk at the Church of Cane Bay that a disciple goes locally, or that goes personally, locally, and also globally. So we want to have somewhat of a footprint somewhere overseas and partner with those who are on the ground telling people who don't already know about Jesus, okay? And so that's what the Nairobi Initiative is all about. Now today's a fun day, and I'm really praying and hoping that that we have a really technologically advanced system enough to do this. But I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Stephen Dinkins, and he is a missionary over in Nairobi that we're going to be partnering with over the next several years. And this, we're going to be sending him and his crew this money. Hey, can you hear me, buddy? No, I can't hear him. Okay. Okay, we're working on it. Hang on. You can hear me, right? Shake your head, yes. Okay.
I can hear you. Good morning.
Hey, there you are. Now we can hear you.
With you.
All right. Sweet. Hey, buddy. I know you can't see me, but they can see you really well.
Well,
in fact, your head is about 5 feet tall right now. So
it's smaller, not bigger.
That's good. I know Steve. So Steven's a huge Gamecock fan. So he's really languishing, as you can see behind him. But I wanted you guys to hear from Stephen and hear his heart. We're going to have a little conversation because I really want you guys to hear and see where this whole project is going, what it might entail, and then we'll be able to ask some questions of him as well. So, hey, Stephen, I want you to introduce yourself, introduce your family, tell these folks, they don't know anything about you. So hey, just tell them about who you are and what you're doing, and, you know, tell them about your family too. Go for it.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Well, good morning, Church of Cane Bay. As Charlie told you, my name is Stephen. I am married to my beautiful wife. Her name is Sarah. And we have four children here with us in Nairobi, Kenya. Their names are Rainey. And she's our only daughter. She's 14. And then we have a son named Asa, like King Asa from the Bible. He's 11 in middle school. Then we have Nehemiah, who is 5 years old and just started kindergarten. And our fourth child, our last born, is Benjamin. We call him Benny. And he is 3 years old. He'll be four in November. So that's a little bit about our family. We've been in Africa for a little over 2 years. And we've lived in Tanzania and also in Kenya, down on the coast in Mombasa. And now we are up in the capital of Kenya and really the hub of all of East Africa in Nairobi, a city of about 3.5 million people. And about 10 to 15% of those, 300,000 to 500,000 of those are Muslims. Muslims from many different people groups, from all over East Africa, but even from Saudi Arabia and India and even China. So it's a very big city, very diverse city, and that's where we're living with our family and seeking to be an influence for the gospel.
Awesome.
With those Muslims that live here among us.
Hey, Stephen, I know most of us living here in South Carolina, so 3.5 million people in the same city, that's the same size as our state, which so you're talking about a much grander area. But tell us, go back just a little bit, and why on earth would anybody from Sumter, South Carolina, why would you do this? Why would you move to Africa? That doesn't, for most of us, that makes absolutely no sense.
Well, I think that's a great question. I might borrow or steal a line, an answer I heard from a fellow missionary. It was a friend of ours that we met as we were going through the orientation process with our mission organization. And she was asked by the elders in her church, as they were heading to the Middle East, and where 100% almost of the people are Muslim, and it's very hot and a very hard area. They asked her, "Why are you sure you want to go? Why would you want to take your family and your small children and go across the world to this very hard place?" And her answer was, "Because God deserves the glory from those people, and He deserves their praises as much as ours."
Amen.
And so I really love that answer. I think that's at the core of it, because I think God has told us to do it. He deserves the glory, not just from the American church, but from unreached people around the world. So about 3 or 4 years ago, we were living in Sumter, South Carolina. That's my hometown. And my wife and I, we had three children at the time. And I was in the business world, and Sarah and I were kind of doing our thing, and kids in school and very active in our home church. And we felt, I guess for a time, very used and blessed, and we were where we were supposed to be. But somewhere around 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord just started giving us a restlessness that we really had a hard time articulating. And at different times in our marriage over the previous 14 or 15 years, there had been times where we talked about missions and being a missionary family, but we never were on the same page at the same time. For one reason or another, one of us was kind of ready to go and one of us was not. But 3 or 4 years ago, it kind of came together as we were reading David Platt's book called Radical, and we were listening to other pastors speak to us, other church members and other family, just kind of encourage us. It seemed that it was clear God was wanting us to do something different with our lives that would matter for eternity. And it kind of became clear to Sarah and I, for us to keep doing the same thing was going to be disobedience, while millions of people were dying every year without ever hearing the gospel. And we were also challenged, Charlie, I don't want to brag on you in front of all of your church. I don't want them to think you put me up to this, but I remember distinctly when Charlie was serving as an interim pastor with my church there in Sumter, he and my wife and I had a great conversation over lunch one day about missions and about the purpose and about why it's so important. And we just talked about the reality of Jesus' words, that nobody comes to the Father but through Him. And that there were literally billions of people around the world who haven't heard the truth of Jesus, and without it are going to suffer the wrath of their sins and not receive the forgiveness and the grace that He offers through the message, through the story of Jesus and His good news. And so that began a time of kind of wrestling. And for 2 or 3 months, we finally decided to put ourselves forward with the International Mission Board, which is the mission arm of the Southern Baptist Churches in America. So it's an agency of, a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we put ourselves into that application process. And at the very same time, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky with my whole family. I started some seminary, which I'm still taking. I was just working on an online class a few minutes ago. So I'm working through that, but I began that as a part of the application process. We were commissioned in November of 2013. No, that's not right. 2012, and then in January of 2013 is when we left the United States and headed overseas. So, you know, we're still very green. We're still learning a lot, but God has taught us a lot, and He's blessed us tremendously, I think, for being obedient. Not being perfect, but at least being obedient in, I think, His call on our lives.
Yeah, awesome, Stephen. So you're over in Nairobi. It looks like you're just sitting in a normal office, but you're in like missionary housing, right? So I'm glad that you got power and water and, you know, internet, obviously, enough to communicate with us. That's so fantastic. But, you know, most of us think of Africa and Nairobi as like this, you know, place with huts and things like that. What does a normal day look like for you in ministry? Give us a picture of what that looks like.
Sure. Nairobi is a very modern city in parts, but it's a very third world city in other parts. The 3.5 million people, the vast majority of them are living in extreme poverty, living on $150 a month or less for a family, living in an area we would call a slum, that they would even call a slum here in Nairobi, where people are living in a house that really is made up of just some tin that they've nailed together on some maybe even some sticks or some small 1x lumber, and just kind of created a very, very makeshift shelter. And that's very much the common, very norm. Probably at least 1 million of the people in this 3.5 million person city are living like that, very day to day, trying to survive. But then at the very same time, the contrast is great, because not far from the house we're living in, which is a mission house and it's been one for 60 years, I think, is a brand new mall, the Westgate Mall, where they had the terrorist attack some 2 years ago that 67 people died in. It's a half a mile from my house, and they've just reopened it, and it's as nice as anything in South Carolina. And so it's a tale of two cities. It's a tale of two people. It's a place where the gospel continues to be needed. Okay, so my work, what does it look like every day? It's a little bit different. Maybe like a pastor's work in South Carolina. I'm sure the same day never repeats itself. But we have two tasks from the IMB that they've given us. And the first is to be church planters amongst Muslims here in Nairobi. So with our own lips and our own relationships, to share the gospel, to be in these communities, making relationships and looking for opportunities to share with them about our faith in Jesus and how it is radically different than theirs and their faith in Muhammad and Allah, and why we think it's so important that they understand who Jesus really is. So our goal, we would love to see believers come out of that background and then create small groups that could one day become churches, much like Cane Bay has grown from a small group into a very healthy church. And then that would be a church that could reproduce, and that they would keep telling people, that everybody that comes to know the Lord would be obedient to keep telling other people about what the Lord has done for them. So in one sense, our job is on at least weekly to be in 3 or 4 different Muslim neighborhoods, building relationships and sharing with people the love of Jesus. But then on the second hand, our work consists of working with and meeting with and training local pastors and believers on how they can come out of their comfort zone. How can they come out of the box that they are in and start sharing with people that don't look like them, do not dress like them, sometimes do not speak the same language as them? How can they see them like Christ sees them and have a desire to reach them with the gospel so that they are not separated from God for eternity? Nairobi is, frankly, it's a lot of people are surprised when I tell them this, but it's 80% of the people in Nairobi would identify themselves as Christian. Now that sounds very high, and it is very high, but I would underline the part where they said identify themselves as Christian, not necessarily I don't think they're born again following Jesus with their heart. And a lot of times when they say they're Christian, they mean I'm not a Muslim, because there's a very stark line between the religion of Islam and the religion of Christianity in all of Africa. And most everybody would either claim to be one or the other. Very few people would tell you, oh, I still practice an African traditional religion or something like that. Although they still do a lot of things from that culture, they're going to identify with one of those two. But Imagine the segregated South, or imagine a part of America when you go to New York and maybe you have Chinatown. And very few people go there, unless it's for novelty, to actually interact with a different people group. It's just very segregated. There's lots of walls and barriers. That's how it is here with Muslims and non-Muslims. And so we're just trying to help also train other people and challenge other people, mobilize other people to go with us into these neighborhoods to make a difference with the gospel. So every day is a little bit different. Sometimes it's sharing with our own mouth, and sometimes it's training others how to share with their relationships as well.
Awesome. Good picture, man. Thank you. I'll tell a story about Stephen real quick, because this is super fun. So when Stephen was in Sumter, he was a commercial real estate agent making, millions of dollars a year, and it was great.
Don't believe him.
Yeah, but here's a fun story, and he's going to hate me for telling you this, but this is a guy who's he's got a family, 3 kids at the time. He's moving to seminary, and so he literally sells everything he's got, sells a beautiful home out in the country, sells his furniture, sells his cars, sells everything he's got. And that was about the same time that we were moving here to Cane Bay, and we were raising money for the Church of Cane Bay. And this guy he's planning to move to Africa. Like, that's the plan. He's going to seminary, sells everything he's got, and he cuts us a check for thousands of dollars. I mean, for the Church of Cane Bay, and he hates that I'm telling you this. But this whole initiative is just an effort to pay you back with interest. I'm just kidding. We've been trying to work through what this might look like because we really want to see how our dollars are going to move forward. What does $23,000 do in Nairobi, and what are you planning on doing with those funds when they hit the ground?
Well, that is, I think, a very important question. And let me just maybe first thank you, Charlie, and thank the people of Cane Bay. You're the people that are willing to invest in others and invest in the gospel. The money is not going, as a family, we're fully supported by the International Mission Board. So for those of you who maybe don't understand, I know it can be a little confusing. Southern Baptist churches give to the cooperative program, and then they also give a big Christmas offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, named after a missionary to China hundreds of years ago or 100 years ago. And so with that money, we're provided a house, and we're provided a car for our family. We're provided, a basic living expenses. So we're taken care of. The money that you guys are looking at sacrificially giving to the ministry here, we're looking at using to help two areas. And the two areas are, one, looking how we can help Muslim background believers. Sometimes we'll shorten that. We'll call them MBBs. When a person, a man or a woman, comes out of Islam and comes to Jesus and is open and confesses their faith, they want to follow Jesus, and they turn their back on Muhammad and Islam, the ramifications are astounding. I mean, they are often kicked out of their house. Their things are often burned. If they're a man, sometimes even women, they're beaten. They lose their job. They may have their wife or their children taken from them. The Muslim culture is the culture of honor and shame. And for somebody in your family to shame you and your religion and your family is a big, big deal. So people that come to faith find themselves in a terrible situation and without resources and without money. And so we're looking at trying to use part of that money very wisely and to stretch it very far to help those believers that do come out of the darkness and to the light, to help them get on their feet. Not just to give them a handout, but to help them maybe find somewhere to live. Maybe it's rooming with somebody, another Kenyan. Maybe it's helping them pay for a little bit of education to find a vocational skill so they can do something on their own because they've many times lost their job. Maybe it's helping them with just some food and clothing to start off for the first week or two because it's very traumatic. Sometimes the family kind of lets them come back as long as they kind of keep things on the down low, which always isn't what we want them to do, but sometimes it happens and the first couple of weeks are the worst. And so we want to make sure that we, as a church, as a body of Christ, are loving our brothers well and enabling them to survive such difficult persecution. So that's one area where we would use that money. It would be in a fund with the IMB, and we would be very diligent on how we used it and how we tried to help people, never in a way that hurt them, always in a way trying to help them become self-sustaining and becoming, in a good position, putting themselves in a good position. The second way that we would love to see some of the money used is helping Kenyan missionaries, Kenyan believers that have a heart to tell these Muslims about Jesus. Economics is always a struggle here in Africa for most people. And so we would love to be able to supplement on some level the income of some of these missionaries, these believers who want to share but don't have the time or don't have the resources to really put a lot of energy into it because they're just trying to scrape around and feed their family day to day. I mean, is the name of the game in Nairobi for most people. So I would love to be able to spend some of that money to help them on a recurring basis with their family expenses as they continue to partner with us to go preach the word. Just like Southern Baptists are helping support me as I go do it, I would love to be able to help some of them on a, not a whole fully funded, salary, but I'm talking about $50 to $100, maybe $50 to $75 a month for four or five of them for a year or two at a time. Getting them used to doing this kind of ministry. So that's another area we might would use those funds. But I know it's going to be a while as y'all get your campaign rolling. And I think the Lord's going to show us lots of details, in the future. The vision will kind of come into focus. But I told Charlie that I am humbled, my wife and I, and frankly, my boss, our team in Nairobi, humbled by your willingness to do this and to put your treasure in here in Africa to help reach more people. It makes me think of Jesus when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think when you make a commitment like this, it's going to cause you to follow your investment, not just because it's money, because it's resources to help with the gospel. And you're going to be excited about maybe coming and going out with us. You're going to be excited about hearing reports. You're going to be excited about hearing some results of what's going on. And that just makes me happy as we work together. In Swahili, we say tuko pamoja, and that means, we are together. That's a common phrase or common goodbye when you're leaving somebody, tuko pamoja. And so I love being on a team together with the church in the States, willing to sacrificially give to watch the kingdom continue to spread in an exponential way. So
I love it, man.
It's an exciting time.
So I have one more question, and then we're going to let you go, and we're going to move on. But you're coming back to the States on they call it stateside assignment or sabbatical for a few months in July of next year, right? So hopefully we'll have you here on the stage, and you can kind of tell us what's going on. But I do know that we're going to be I'm going to be taking a team over there in the spring to come and visit you. And we haven't assembled that team yet, and you might be interested in going to Nairobi. So we're going to be there for maybe a week or something like that. What is that team going to do when we're there?
I want everybody hearing me to know that we would love to have you. It would not be a burden; it would be a joy, and it would be a blessing to have some American friends come over to fellowship with us and to do some ministry with us. I think we would try to do two things while you're here. We would try to get you out into the field in some of these areas where we're working and introduce you to some of the Muslims we're friends with and that we're relating to, and give you a chance to share a story or a testimony to these people so they can see our friends and see more people that have sold out for Jesus. And then we'd also love for you to have some time to spend with some of these national partners that we're talking about. So you can see both sides of how your investment might be used. And we would want you to have a chance to be with them, maybe even share some stuff with them, a story or your testimony or how you, anything the Lord has laid on your heart. So we'd give you an opportunity to share with both of those people, just like we do every week. So I wouldn't see my schedule changing a whole lot. I would see you just coming in with us and doing what we do, and hopefully, that would be something that would be a blessing and give you your church a chance to catch even more of a vision for how we're trying to reach so many with this gospel.
I love it. Well, Stephen, man, we're gonna say goodbye. Or how do you say goodbye in Swahili?
Well, you could. There's lots of ways. I guess the most formal way would be to say kwa heri. That's goodbye in Swahili.
Wow. I don't know if I can do that. you're very talented. But here's the deal. There's a little camera right back there, everybody. So look back there. Okay, everybody, look back there and say bye, Stephen. We're good to see you. See you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Bye, Harry.
See you, buddy.
Okay. Love you guys.
Yep. Oh, all right. So thankful for him. So I just wanted you guys to meet that guy because he's one of my favorite people in the world, a true hero of our Christian faith. And here's the reason why we do that. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm 96 and the few remaining moments that we have left. I want to share with you just a little bit of the biblical background of why we would even do this. Why would we consider this? So if you have a Bible or a phone, Psalm 96, it'll be up on the screen if you don't have one. And if you don't have a Bible, we have these wonderful little Bibles right here on the Connect table. We'd love to give you one, okay? So Psalm 96, I want to read just the first couple verses, okay? It says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Repeat that with me again. All the earth, okay? "Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day." Now say this one with me. Verse 3, ready? "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among" what? "All the peoples." All right, stop right there. What if we took verse 3 seriously? Let me just read it one more time. Let's look at it one more time. "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Do you know what the word "all" means in Hebrew? It means all. It means all. When it says nations, it's not talking about geopolitical states. There's, you know, roughly around 1,200 or so, you know, where we see lines on a globe and, you know, but there are somewhere around 12,000 different people groups, different nationalities. Think about America. How many different people groups we have? We have Westerners and Northerners and Southerners and Midwesterners. And you have all these different groups. You have blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asian. You've got all these different groups of people with their own dialects of language and their own cultural backgrounds. In other countries, I mean, there's in Kenya where Stephen is, there's at least 5 different languages that are spoken there. Swahili is just a common trade language. I mean, so there's so many different peoples that God wants to reach with the gospel. And if we took that verse 3 seriously, "Declare to the nations the glory of God. Tell of his glory to all the peoples." Now, we believe at the Church of Cane Bay that we are, as a group right here, we're responsible for a 10-mile radius around this place, that every single man, woman, child, and when we say every single, we really do mean every man, woman, and child, we are responsible for right here in the local area of Cane Bay. We want to give them multiple opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. Now, we also believe that we are a part of the command of this verse: declare the glories of God to the nations. So we believe that we have to partner with people that are just like Stephen all over the world. And so we're going to take this small step, this small initiative. We're going to give 10% just so that they can have some funds to do something with. But I'm really excited. In the next couple weeks, I'll get some information out to you. But in the next couple weeks, we're going to be scheduling that trip in the spring. I got to tell you, it's going to be expensive. It's probably going to be $2,000 or $3,000 to go. And it's going to be a small team. But I hope that you might consider, what would it look like for me to tithe a portion of my life next year in 2016 to be able to go on some type of international mission trip? What would it look like for us to partner with them, to pray with them, to give to them so that the gospel can be known? 3.5 million people in one city. That's the size of our entire state in one city. And there's 300,000 to 400,000 Muslims that live inside of that city that he's trying to reach. That's how big our city is. Charleston. That's how big Charleston is. And it's covered with folks who have no knowledge of Jesus. And so we have partners like Stephen and Sarah who are doing great work on the ground, sharing the gospel with other partners that are there. And we want to come and support them. We want to love them and provide to them all the resources that they could possibly need so that in their circle of the city of Nairobi, that every single man, woman, and child in that city can know the love of Jesus. That's why we're doing this, because we truly believe that our job is to declare the glories of God to all the nations. So we're going to give away this campaign, or at least 10% of it. And I'm thankful to be, I hope that you'll follow the blog on advancecanebay.org, because we're going to be giving updates as to what that looks like, and certain things are happening in that city. I hope you pay attention to your social media so that we can share with you updates about what's happening. But how can you engage to pray, to give, and then possibly to even go? And it's very possible that you might be sitting in this seat right now. Stephen was a commercial real estate agent. His wife was a homemaker. So they had 3 kids at the time. They weren't pastors. They were just people, normal people inside of a church. And you heard him. He had a burning call for ministry and missions. And they were involved in their church, but God was calling them out to do something completely different. And so that person is just like you. And it very well might be that you might hear that testimony and you might just have to ask yourself the question, is that me? Is that my family? Is God calling me to sell everything I have so that I can be on the field, so that I can go out and tell the nations about Jesus? I've always wanted to travel. Might as well do it now, right? Take my kids, take them to a more dangerous place than Cane Bay for the glory of God, to declare the glory of God to the nations, okay? So I'm going to take time to pray for Stephen and Sarah and their family, and I want us to be engaged with this as a church. I'm really excited about it, and I'm really excited about what God is going to do through the Advance campaign. So let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful for Stephen and Sarah Dinkins, for Rainey, for Asa, for Nehemiah, for Benny. Father, they are giving of their lives every day, putting their lives in danger, so that your gospel can be known among the Muslim people of Nairobi. Father, I pray that we would be a diligent people, that we would be giving and gracious. This is such a small amount of money, $22,000, $23,000. It seems like such a small amount to be able to give to people who, if they come to Jesus, they'll face extreme hardship, be shunned by their family. Father, we recognize that we are blessed as a people, that if we wanted to come and follow you, we can do so in freedom. And we're not going to be shamed or shunned. But Father, that we can live our lives out in public. But God, for these folks who can't do that, because they would be shamed among their family, that they would have their families taken away from them, that they would lose their job, Father, I pray that we would come alongside of them and tell them that we love them. We want you to be a follower of Christ. I want you to change your family. And Father, that the glory of God might be known in that family. So God, help us to be a small piece of that. Help us to be generous as a people. And God, I pray that you would just reign over this church and help us to continuously be more generous than we ever have been. And help us to give over and above what we already have been giving, so that the gospel can go forward and advance. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you that all the technology worked today. It's amazing that we live in a time where we can talk to somebody on a video in Africa. What an amazing time. And I pray that those same technologies would continue to work to be able to share the glory of Jesus to the nations. Jesus, we love you. As we go, I pray that you would go before us. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for watching a video this morning. I know that was a little bit awkward and a little bit weird, but I'm grateful that you got to know Stephen this morning. I'm grateful that you can walk out of this place and have a conversation with your family and your children about what it would look like for your family to get involved internationally. So let's stand up together, folks. We're going to sing this thing out. And here's the deal. We're about to sing a song that has everything to do with going to the ends of the earth. And so my hope is that this would not be a song that's just like, okay, when is this over so that I can get out of here and go to lunch? But this is a song that is the cry of our heart. Everything that we've heard, I hope, comes out of your mouth and says, this is the cry of our heart, that we would go to the ends of the earth with the glory of God. Okay? So stay with us. Praise Jesus through this song. It's going to be a good one.